Thank you so much, Abby. That was beautiful. And we appreciate all of you from the youth worship team. Just your heart is really beautiful to us. So thank you. Thank you for blessing us today. Today we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is where we'll be landing in for this whole sermon. And so I have this formula that I kind of have whenever I preach during the graduation service. I've done this the past few years. And usually I start off with talking about a lot of stressful things that are to come for the graduates as they move into the life of adulting. And all of us who are adults are very stressed out by these things. And so I start off stressing everyone out. That's kind of the motive, right? I want you all to be like, oh man, he's reminding me of all the stink that's happening. This is not fun. But then we move on into the hopeful things. And so that's kind of the formula that I've had the past few years. But it's a good reminder. We want to be encouraged by the things we talk about here in the Word. And so I love that when you guys were up here, you shared some verses that the Lord has put on your heart that help motivate you, that help encourage you to live for Christ, to not be ashamed of the gospel, to trust Him in your paths, to trust Him with how you live and where you're at. Just being reminded that it is Christ who strengthens us. These are awesome verses, and I appreciate all of you for sharing these things. But you also shared some of your fears that are coming forth in adulting. One of those big ones is, man, what am I going to do next? Right? Ben, thank you for sharing that. It's true. You know, it's hard to figure all these things out right now. It's really difficult. You know, there's a lot of things that the world wants us to commit to. They want you to commit to, this is your purpose in life, your career. This is your purpose in life, going to this college. Or maybe even relationships. There are things that the world tells us we need to make the focus of our life. And that's not true. But these things could happen. Another fear that was shared was taxes and bills. That's a healthy fear. These things are difficult. You're not used to these things. These things are brand new. And there are some challenges. There are some struggles that come because of these things. One of those challenges is you're going to be challenged on your priorities. We talked about how, I just mentioned that the world is trying to tell us, relationships or careers or college, these things are your purpose in life. That's not true. Our purpose in life is to serve our Savior. But the world is going to try to challenge your priorities. When you go to college, when you go to the Marines, when you go into the workforce, the world's going to challenge what your priorities are, where you invest your time, where you invest your energy, what gives you true purpose. And the world is going to try to put Christ on the back burner. That's a struggle that's going to come up. Another struggle is you may have a desire for things. You may have a desire for belongings. As you work, you start to make your own money. You know that there's needs you need to take care of. You know that there's food. You need food. You need to pay rent. You have to pay your bills, your gas. All these things are important. Yet they can become our focus. And as you get money to take care of these things, the temptation could come about that you love money. And you love the things, and you love the things that money can buy, and you want more, and it causes you to envy, it causes you to be jealous, it causes you to take root of all kinds of sin. And that's what Paul talks about here in chapter 6. He talks about all these difficulties. In verse 10, he says, the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Some have put Jesus on the back burner because they loved money so much, or they completely denied Christ because they just wanted to focus on money and what it can get them, and it led to all kinds of evils and sins. That doesn't mean money's evil. The Lord knows we need finances. The Lord knows that we need food and we need all these things, yet He calls us to be content in Him. It's the same way in Matthew 6 where Christ tells us not to worry about what we will eat or what we will drink or how we'll be clothed. He says, don't worry about tomorrow because the Lord knows you need all these things. But instead, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and all these things will be added to you. The Lord's calling isn't saying all these things are bad. It's saying seek me first. Set your priorities straight. But these struggles will come. Another big struggle. Ben, I love that you were open and honest about one of your struggles of, around your friends who maybe don't know Jesus, it's hard to be confident and bold about the gospel. It's easy to want to stray back or maybe compromise your values or compromise how Christ is working in your life or compromise even preaching the gospel or how it is preached. As you move on into this world of adulting, the world does not like Jesus. The world doesn't. The world hates Jesus. There are people who say they love Jesus, yet don't even know Jesus. Our world is full of people trying to compromise the gospel. And so we don't want to be ashamed. We want to know the true gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead, and that by believing him and receiving his free gift of eternal life, we can have a relationship with him, and we have eternity with him. We don't want to be ashamed of that. But the struggles that may come, maybe in the workforce. I worked in construction around unbelievers, and it was hard to live for Jesus there. It was difficult. I had times I was persecuted where people would, you know, they didn't like that I loved Jesus, and so they tried to egg me on, and I'm like, well, I gotta love them. Like, it's hard. These hardships come. So these are some struggles that you may have. And Paul talks about all these things in chapter 6. He talks about these false teachers in verse 3, those who advocate a different doctrine that don't agree with the sound words of Jesus Christ. He talks about all these struggles that are to come, but then in verse 11, he gives us some instruction. In fact, after this, he gives four main charges that we're going to be talking about today. He's preaching to young Timothy, who's planning on being a preacher, pastor, and he gives him these four charges of how to live for Christ amongst all these struggles. And so we're going to talk about these four charges that he gives Timothy and how they apply to us. But first, I'm going to pray, and then we'll dive in. So let's pray. Lord, we know that you love us. We know that you've called us to follow you, to seek you and your kingdom and your righteousness. Lord, we want to seek Jesus. Help us to keep our eyes on him. Even now as we hear your word, help us to understand these callings, these charges that were given to Timothy and to apply them to our lives, Lord. We don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. We want to be bold for you. We don't want to compromise. We don't want to fall to these temptations. We want to seek you. So help us now to do that, Lord. Work in our hearts to change us by your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first charge that Paul gives Timothy here is in verse 11. After talking about the love of money and the ways it could tempt you, or the way that some have compromised the gospel, those who oppose the gospel and sound words of Jesus Christ, these false teachers, he says, flee from these things in verse 11. Flee from these things. And then he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. So it's this both and. It's not just run away from these things. It's run away from these things and run toward Jesus. Money isn't bad, but the love of money can lead to these things. The Lord knows what you need, but if you're not finding contentment in him, you're gonna stumble. He understands that others are compromising the gospel. He doesn't want you to live there. Flee from these things and then pursue righteousness, godliness, which both of these things are really Christ-likeness. Remember, Christ said, seek my righteousness. We want to seek, how do we live with our character and conduct to be like Jesus? We're never going to be perfect, but he calls us to seek these things, pursue these things, righteousness, godliness, faith. You know, it is by faith that, by grace through our faith that we are saved. By believing and trusting in Jesus, we accept the free gift of eternal life. But even as believers, we continue to struggle with not trusting Christ in our lives. I continue to struggle with not trusting Jesus in my life. And so we need to pursue our faith, our trust in Christ. He says, pursue love. And the love that's mentioned here is an agape love. This is that unconditional type of love, the same love that Jesus showed us when he died on the cross for our sins. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. We didn't do anything. It was while we were sinners. That is unconditional love. And he calls us to that same love, to pursue that. He also calls us to pursue perseverance, patience, that steadfastness through hard things. He's aware of the hard things. Yet we are supposed to persevere through them while pursuing him. And gentleness as well. Being gentle. These are the things we're supposed to pursue as we flee these worldly things that can cause us sin. So that's the first command that Paul gives. And the second one here is in verse 12. I love this one. This one's really encouraging. It's so cool. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight. The good fight, not a good fight. There are many good fights out there, but this is the good fight. And so the command that Paul gives here is similar to like a military command or like a boxer in a ring, right? But he's not calling us to fight physically. The way that we fight is very different. The fight itself is very different than what we're used to, right? Ben, you're going to the Marines. That is a fight. You're fighting for our country. And that ain't easy. That's a good fight. It's not the fight. Sometimes we could pick up the wrong fight. The fight that he's talking about here is the fight against the real enemies that we're told about in Scripture, which is the world. The world that I mentioned doesn't love Jesus. It tries its hardest to change our priorities and take our eyes off of Christ. The flesh, even when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we still are in the flesh until we're with Him in heaven. We are not in perfected bodies. We still have desires. We still have lusts that the flesh tries to call us to. And the enemy, Satan. We have three main enemies: the world, the flesh, and Satan, which Satan's goal is very clear. He's the prince of this earth, and his goal is to blind those who are unbelievers from hearing about or seeing Jesus. He doesn't want people to know Jesus. So that's his main priority, is to stop anyone who has not accepted Christ as their Savior from knowing the saving grace of Jesus. And if you are a believer in Jesus, his next goal is to take your eyes off of him so that you won't live for Jesus and do any effective work. He can't take you away from him. Once you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you're his. You are in his hands. Eternity starts now. That's why he says, take hold of the eternal life that you have been called. Because eternity doesn't start when we enter into heaven after we die. It starts once we accept Christ as our Savior. We are now into eternity, and we're in the fight. And so Satan's goal now is to just prevent us from trusting in Christ, prevent us from being used by Jesus, prevent us from sharing with others what we have. These are the enemies that we're supposed to fight against. That's who he calls us to fight when it says, fight the good fight. And again, there are other fights that are good. They're not the good fight. I'll tell you one personally for me. I had recently, there was a brother of mine in Christ, a brother, and he's a brother in Christ, right? And we had a disagreement. We had an argument. We were angry with each other. And we kind of went our separate ways on it. And I did not seek forgiveness from this brother. We were both in the wrong in different areas. We both hurt each other. Yet I didn't seek him out for forgiveness. And a few months went on, and he ended up reaching out to me. And he said, hey, this is how I was hurt. And I was like, well, this is how I was hurt. And he was like, Greg, I hear you. You know, we were both kind of waiting for the other to apologize. He said, I hear you. I don't want our relationship to be hurt. And the reality is, I was fighting the wrong fight. My fight was not against my brother in Christ. I should not have been so stubborn. I really should have reached out to him sooner and asked for forgiveness. I wasn't trusting Christ in that relationship. I wasn't loving my brother. I wasn't pursuing the things that Paul just called us to pursue. I was fighting a different fight, not the good fight. Our fight isn't against our neighbors. Our fight isn't against our brothers and sisters. It's not against even unbelievers. They're the ones who need Jesus. Our fight is against the world, the flesh, and the enemy. This is the good fight that Paul calls us to fight. And so I want to give kind of the example in Paul's life. You know, he commands Timothy to fight this good fight. But the beautiful thing is, in 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul is near the end of his life. And he wrote this letter to Timothy. He's near the end of his life. And remember, just a letter earlier, he commands Timothy, fight this good fight of faith. But now, in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. What a beautiful way to end your life here on this earth before being with your Heavenly Father in heaven, before being with Jesus. Paul was a perfect example of how to fight the fight. Paul's life was not easy. Paul suffered. Paul was imprisoned. Paul was stoned. All of this for the gospel. He lost physical things. He counted all things that he had, though. He counted them loss in comparison to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. Paul suffered. It was hard. He fought. But it wasn't just hard things. There were really awesome things there. The reason that Paul fought, the reason that Paul gave up everything, the reason that Paul went through all of this was because he knew that this fight was worth it. This was the most important fight to fight, and the fight was for faith, to trust in God. And because of his faithfulness, because of his continuous fighting, dealing with these hardships, and seeking Jesus anyways, because of this, Paul ended up planting churches, bringing many other people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He ended up training ministers. He wrote a ton of the New Testament. He had disciples like Timothy that he trained up to preach. He joyfully endured hardships, right? We talked about all these hardships, the suffering. Yet through this all, Paul counted it all joy. He was genuinely at peace and ready to go. He just was living for his Savior. And he had eternity in mind his whole life. And the Lord used him to glorify Jesus and glorify the Father. That is a purposeful life. And Paul's the perfect example of what this fight looks like. And remember, this fight is not a harmful physical thing. You think some of the attributes he just talked about in pursuing love, unconditional love, gentleness, perseverance. This ain't a normal fight that we're used to. This is a different battle. And so he gives us two more, he gives Timothy two more charges of how to fight this fight. The first one is keep the commandment. This is in verse 14. Keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. What he had just commanded to Timothy, flee from these things and pursue these things, fight the good fight, grab hold of the eternal life, live for eternity. These commands that he just gave him, he says, keep these commandments without stain or reproach. He wants him to be above reproach. Pursue all of these things constantly. It's never ending. It keeps going. It's a daily battle. Any day that I wake up and I don't believe that I'm in a fight right now, the enemy's going to win. I need to be aware that there is a fight that I'm in, and I want to keep seeking Jesus every day of my life. I want to be reminded of how he's loved me and given me eternal life so that I would be drawn and motivated to fight. And so this is how he tells us to fight. Keep the commandment until Christ appears. And the next thing he says in verse 20 is, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of which is falsely called knowledge. So the things of the world, the empty chatter, the opposing arguments that are against the gospel, They're not of Jesus. You want to guard what has been entrusted to you. And what has been entrusted to Timothy is what was entrusted to Paul and he gave to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 1:11, Paul says, to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. He was entrusted with the gospel of Jesus. He entrusted Timothy to that. And he's saying to him, guard this. Do not compromise the gospel in your life. Do not forget what Jesus has done for you. Keep trusting in Jesus. That's what he calls Timothy to do. And in this fight, you know, I think if he's given kind of a military command, it's cool because we got a guy going in the Marines. We got Grant is going into ROTC. You know, he's going in the Army side there. You know, this is similar to like a military command. Fight the good fight of faith. And there are some things you need to fight. One of those things is you need a weapon. Well, our weapon is not, you know, a gun. Our weapon for this fight is not our hands, right? Our weapon is this. We have the Word of God. We have the Word of God that gives us all we need for life and godliness. It directs us, it guides us, it reminds us of who Jesus is and what he's done. And even Jesus, when he was being tempted by Satan, used the word of God to fight back. It's our weapon. Another thing that's vital in war, Pastor Mike told me this, communication, I heard, is one of the most important things in war. Communication. They say comms is extremely vital. Well, we got that. Prayer. Our prayer with the Lord, constantly communicating with him, helps us in this fight. I want to let him know, Lord, this is what I'm struggling with. In the same way you hear Paul say, Lord, I believe, help with my unbelief. This morning I woke up and I knew I was going to be preaching the word. I woke up this morning in my bed and I was like, Lord, just take over today. I know my struggles. I know that I'm prone to want, you know, to speak my own words. I know that I'm prone to pride. I know that I'm prone to all these things. Lord, take over today. And I communicated with God. Just ask for his help and his leading in my life. Prayer, get in the word. Another thing is, when you're in war, you don't fight alone. You don't fight alone. Ben, when you go to boot camp, you'll be working alongside some brothers that are going to be close to you. They're going to be close to you because you're with them fighting. You know, similar to what Paul did for Timothy earlier when he says, flee from these things and pursue these things. In 2 Timothy 2:22, he does something very similar again to Timothy where he says, flee from youthful lusts, run away from these things, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Very similar to this list. But then he adds, with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. This fight isn't to be fought alone. I love that we have all this communication with this body of believers. I love that I treat you as brothers and sisters of mine. I'm close with you all, and I know that I'm not fighting alone. I mentioned all of my youth leaders. I love serving with these wonderful youth leaders because I know I'm not fighting alone. I see Andrew Bethard here. He's one of my brothers who joins us on Saturday mornings. We got these young guys who come together and we talk together. We get in the word together. We encourage one another. And we tell each other, hey, I'm struggling, brother. Help. Can you pray for me? Can you encourage me? Can you keep me accountable? We fight together. That's what the Lord calls us to do. And so, to kind of conclude, a bit reminder, there is going to be distractions for you graduates as you go forward. You've already dealt with distractions in your life, and it gets worse because these things are now treated as needs. You have to pay bills. You have to, you know, get fed. You have to do these things. But remember your priorities. Find your contentment in the Lord. Don't fall into the trap that all of these things are more important, that your career is more important than the good fight. These things are good, but seek first Christ and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Flee from these things. Pursue Jesus. Avoid worldly knowledge. Guard the gospel in your lives. Ben, again, I love that you shared that verse. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power that God has to save. And that is what he calls us to do, fight the good fight. And so that's what I have to share with you all. I'm going to pray, and then Pastor Mike will come up and finish off. But I'm just going to pray and one last time congratulate all of you graduates. It's really been a sweet time getting to know you. And now as you become young adults, I pray that I can, you know, continue to get to know you deeper. I hope that you guys will be around more and we get to hang out. Andrew Bethard, I mentioned, right? He's a great example of someone I had as one of my youth. He graduated. Now he's one of my dear brothers. Love you, man. So I'm going to pray, and Pastor Mike will come up. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you. Again, I can't stop thanking you because you really have given us all we need for life and godliness, more than we need, Lord. You've given us way more than we deserve. Because of our sin, we don't deserve to be with you, but Lord, you loved us in a way no one else has, so much so that you gave your son Jesus to die for us. And Lord, the life lived for you is not easy, but it is worth it. You've given us joy and peace that can't be found anywhere else, and keep our eyes set on you. We need you to lead. Keep our eyes set on you so that we can fight the good fight of faith. We love you, Lord. Pray that you bless all these graduates as they move on in their different areas of life to keep fighting the good fight of faith. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Greg. So, graduates, we are glad for you. We're excited for the lives of faith that you're living. We pray the Lord only brings increase and strength to your lives. And really, that's for all of us, right? I mean, Greg has addressed the graduates. He's addressed all of us. All the things Greg has said really apply to everybody here. There's no question. Greg, I want to thank you again for your candor. I thank you for the sweet picture that you gave us of, you know, that you talked about a struggle and how that was the real fight. And you talked about seeing how, you know, there's this other fight that wasn't the real fight. A beautiful picture that, to help us to see, well, what's our real fight? Our real fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against those three enemies you mentioned. I also really liked how you talked about Paul having his life be a true life of purpose. And how was it that Paul had such a life of purpose that was driven because he had his eyes on Jesus, because he was fighting the good fight of faith? The same call for every one of us. Thank you for the beautiful picture, brother, of the real fight and what it means to fight this good fight, the good fight of faith. So today, brothers and sisters, I pray that you will go out with eyes on Christ, fighting the good fight of faith. The Lord's got you. Amen.